said the joint was rocking, going round and round, yeah, reeling and rocking.
Welcome to the War Room. It's the start of a new broadcast week. We've got the most censored man in America, Steve Jern, with us in studio. But first, here's a report from Millie Weaver on censorship.
Get me Roger Stone. Oh, wait, I can't get a hold of Roger Stone because he's been suspended from Twitter.
I'm getting no signal from it, sir.
And SJW trolls have been bragging and fighting over who gets to take credit over Roger Stone being suspended from Twitter. Now, let's take a look at these controversial tweets that Roger Stone tweeted that landed him in Twitter jail. At Don Lemon, stop lying about the Clintons and uranium, you ignorant, lying, cough sucker. You fake news, you dumb piece of shit. I picture Roger Stone sitting there, flipping through his television, coming across CNN fake news, and hearing Don Lemon spew more BS and lies, and I think he just really kind of lost it and just had to give it to him on Twitter. When AT&T acquires Time Warner, the house cleaning at CNN of human excrement like Don Lemon, Jake Tapper, and dumb Anna Navarro will be swift. But wait, it's not like any of these tweets even violate Twitter's rules. So let's see what these SJWs are bragging about and claiming how they got Roger Stone's Twitter account suspended in the first place. The first tweet claiming to have taken the great Roger Stone down is by David A. Wood,
a snarky, passionate advocate for acceptance, inclusion, and humanitarianism.
I'm sorry, but your description offends me itself, so maybe I should just flag your account right now.
I have reported this tweet, which appears to encourage harm be brought to someone.
So apparently, encouraging harm to be brought on someone is calling them a pile of human excrement, or a dumb f- or a dumb, lying piece of shit. So calling somebody names you don't like is somehow inciting violence? It's not like other people aren't calling for Donald Trump's death on a daily basis. I don't see Twitter suspending their accounts. These SJWs are out of control. Because after all, remember, words are violence! You know, I don't know about you, but I would rather somebody call me names than punch me in the face. Then we have an SJW claiming that this troll
needs to be nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize due to the selfless sacrifice you've made here tonight.
This is what happens when every kid gets a trophy in school. You should get trophies now for being trolls on the internet. Not for actually, you know, discovering the cure for cancer, creating world peace, no, being a troll on the internet, getting Roger Stone kicked off. Nobel Peace Prize for you. So of course we have other SJWs claiming,
I have done the same. I did too. Me too. Ditto.
I reported it as well. It's full of harassment towards Mr. Lemon.
And I do find it kind of fitting that Don Lemon's last name is a lemon. Someone sold us a lemon.
Roger is a douchebag and as narcissistic as 45.
But wait a minute, isn't calling him a douchebag a sexist, misogynist term that should get you violated from Twitter yourself?
You did the right thing, David. Might have saved a life.
I'm sorry, saved a life? Aren't we getting a little bit dramatic?
Dear Netflix, cut your ties with Roger Stone. I'm closing my account and will not be opening it as long as you're promoting this racist POS.
I'm sorry, but how the heck is Netflix promoting Roger Stone by doing a hit piece propaganda film about him? But wait, we have another person letting the original troll know he reported Mr. Stone first.
I reported it before I saw your tweet.
I did it first. Me.
Now this one really takes the cake. This, again, is from the original troll that decided to take credit for getting Roger Stone suspended from Twitter. He later tweets,
note to self, don't.
All right, folks, that's Millie Weaver. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back with Steve Jern on the other side.
We'll be right back. This is the War Room.
But that's what I actually love about talk radio, is that you don't really know where you're going to go. I'm talking to Steve Gern, our guest in studio here, the most censored man on social media right now. And he's never even seen the Lawrence O'Donnell video of the MSNBC host. I wish that video went as viral as your videos.
I don't understand it. I really don't.
Because, well, maybe they're censoring that one, too. I mean, you've been censored. You're censored on Facebook. We were talking outside of the break. You're censored on Facebook, YouTube. You can't even... You get a big account, you get all these followers, and then you have to make a new account because they keep blocking you there.
The censorship has gotten so bad that within the last one that got knocked down was it was up for 2 hours and it was definitely going viral, but boom, it was gone just like that.
So if you don't know Steve's story, he got a major viral video talking about his experience in Iraq where he was deployed. He's no longer deployed. He got sent back, and so he tried to do more videos. He got censored there again, so InfoWars wanted to get him live in studio to talk about all of it. But it's really wild that you, because you probably didn't even really think much. I heard you on the Alex Jones show earlier today. You were saying how when you did the video first, you didn't really think too much about it. You were just putting your mind out there, your experience firsthand in Iraq. It goes majorly viral. And now all of a sudden you're being censored, you're being demonized. And it must be confusing. You're just like, what, man? I'm just telling the truth out here.
Well, it was confusing at first, but now I just think it's hilarious. Some of the things that go on, some of the things that are said and how they censor it. You know, the last video, they said it was spam. Obviously, it's not spam.
Wait, are you real?
Yeah, I must not be.
Hold on, are you? Okay, I just had to make sure.
But yeah, it's just, the whole Antifa thing and how, you know, what they're actually saying, you know, reading off their actual comments, It's hilarious to me, to be honest. Yeah, it really is, because, I mean, really, what are they going to do?
It's almost sad, too.
It is.
In a way.
It is. You know what's sad about it is, you know, all these organizations, all these groups now, you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa and all them, they don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're fighting, you know, because there's no basis on actually what they have to do or what they're doing.
I think they're fighting reality is what I think they're doing. Hey, folks, welcome to the War Room. We got a loaded show today. Steve Gern is going to be with us in studio for the first couple segments. Paul Joseph Watson will join us at 3:30 Central. Roger Stone hosting the second hour. You're not going to want to miss that. All the latest with the JFK files, the latest in the Manafort indictment and the real Russian collusion with the Democrats. Craig Sawyer in the 5 o'clock Central hour to talk about the latest at vetsforchildrescue.com, including his outreach to Corey Feldman to try to get him on InfoWars. And then we're efforting Jack Posobiec for 5:30 Central right now, so be sure to stay tuned. But Steve Gern is our guest. We're talking about how he's been censored, his videos. I mean, you weren't even a guy that was really involved with media. You know, you were just a guy that saw something trending and you wanted to inject a little bit of your reality, your experience into that trending topic, and you were shut down. You were silenced, like you didn't exist.
Yeah, pretty much.
Someone that serves the country, too, by the way.
It's the truth, and that's what it comes down to is so many people, like you say, fake news. They don't want to hear the truth. They do not want to hear it. And when somebody actually comes out and has something legitimate to say, and they say it in such a raw form, you know, the majority they can't handle it anymore. Especially this left wing. I mean, they lose their minds as soon as somebody has anything factual to say and say, hey, this is the way things are going. As soon as that happens. I mean, they're doing everything they can to shut us down. And you know, in some ways they're being effective, but truthfully, we're winning this war. So I'm not too stressed out about, you know, where they stand at this point.
The whole you can't handle the truth thing, it comes to fruition now when dealing with these people. But the difference is you see an argument or a point and you want to ram your head against that with your reality, with your truth. I go out in the streets when I see an Antifa protest going on and I try to have a conversation with these people. We see that they have no foundation. They have no basis for their beliefs. And so the difference is that we try to have a conversation. We try to put out an idea that opposes their ideas, whereas they just try to shut down, censor, and silence anyone whose ideas or whose speech doesn't really jive with theirs. And that's simply because, like you said, they can't handle the truth. They can't be confronted with the fact that their reality is based on lies. And so whenever you shatter that paradigm, they just have to shut you up. They have to call you a racist, this, that, or the other thing, and then just, you know, make you disappear so no one can see your opinion.
And that's exactly right. You know, I was watching a video that you did recently, or I don't know, I'm not really sure how long you did it, but you're on the campus and obviously talking to some of these girls and so on. And, you know, the one girl took great, you know, she got upset and all so on and so forth.
Very upset.
And I couldn't.
Is that the one that cried?
Yeah, the one that cried. I was laughing so hard. I was trying to laugh, but, you know.
How can I make someone cry? I'm like such a happy-go-lucky guy, honestly.
Yeah, I would make him cry, but it was great. And I was laughing so
hard. There's the guy. He tried to save him.
Yeah.
That green vest almost got me.
But the thing of it is that when you actually put them facts out there, they were just shut down. They had nowhere to go. They just kept saying, no, there's Nazis, there's racists. I mean, they're all over the place. Look at them, they're all over. And you're like, well, where?
I did a quick 360 Pam. We didn't see any.
So it's so funny that, and it's always the same. They have no basis for their fight. They have no factual evidence of anything. And then as soon as you hit them with that, you know, you're a racist, you're this, you're that. Recently, I lost a friend that was, we had been friends for a long time. And because I asked her a question about Hillary Clinton.
Just simply a political thing.
It was, you know, she had asked me what I had been doing. I was talking about a little bit about what I was doing with a group that I was with, UTT, Understanding the Threat. And,
Did work with them too? Oh,
yeah,
wow. Okay.
I'm actually a trainer now. I went through their trainer course.
Oh, okay.
So I know very quite good. A bit about that.
That's good. They do good work over there.
Yeah, they do. And so, you know, she had asked me what was going on, and I told her. I said, well, you know, this. And when I asked her about, hey, do you know who Alinsky is? And do you know what the Marxist movement's all about? She just got so mad, and she goes, you know what? You're an extremist. All your videos are nothing but hate. And I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And I'm like, so why is it hate? And she goes, well, you know, Black Lives Matter and this. And I said, listen. Black Lives Matter, I wish they were a little bit more educated. If we could educate them to understand that they're being used as pawns in this whole thing, you know, maybe.
Or if we could direct that energy. My big thing is, too, if you could direct the energy of Black Lives Matter against groups that are actually racist, like Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Or if you could get Black Lives Matter to go into the cities of Chicago between midnight and 5 a.m., where people are getting shot every night. I mean, you know.
Exactly. They latch on to something. You have some that I believe are very educated. They're very educated, and they know right from wrong. But then you have this group, which creates the masses. It's more massive than the ones that actually know what's going on. And they're just anarchists. They're just destroying everything because, hey, I can do it. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to, you know, do some stupid things, you know, maybe bomb some cars and so on and so forth. And now that's all they're doing. They're like, okay, I get to loot this place, or I get to destroy this, or I'm going to set this on fire, or, hey, I'm going to go to Berkeley because I don't like the way these people are talking.
And I'm going to smash a window.
Yeah, those their views aren't the same as my views, so what am I going to do? I'm going to go start things on fire. I'm going to kick down windows. I'm going to throw, you know, chairs. It's just, it's kid stuff. It's actually kid stuff.
It really is kid stuff. It's like, you know, you would never go around as a kid and, you know, teepee a house by yourself, right? But no. If you had your five or six buddies with you,
right,
you know, you're going around teepeeing, you know, ding-dong ditching, whatever. Yeah, it's kind of the same little stuff, like the little punk tactics, you know. It's like, it is kid stuff. It really is immature, sad stuff to see that these grown adults, even professors.
Well, that's what really breaks me, is the fact that you look at somebody who has that sort, you know, that level of an education, and you're teaching, do you become a mentor? And in your mentorship, what you're doing is teaching people, you know, the complete opposite of what they should know.
You know what? And here's a story that we'll go to this break with, and maybe we'll pick this up on the other side, because this was an interesting one. I wasn't going to cover this last week when I saw it, because I was just kind of like perturbed overall by it. 20,000 DACA teachers at risk, and your kids could feel the fallout too. So this is what I'm talking about. When you've got professors on the streets protesting, looting, rioting, burning things, literally making fart noises as a political argument. That's actually happened. Okay, so there's half of the higher education system. And then the other half apparently are DACA recipients. Well, what am I supposed to think about that? Because every time I deal with DACA recipients, they're out on the streets doing the exact same thing Antifa's doing. Protesting Trump. Protesting this. Protesting that. Hating America. So imagine these are the people teaching our kids, and then you wonder why the kids grow up going to Berkeley and smashing windows and burning cars. No, that's why, because of the people they're being educated by. Yeah. guest is in studio, Steve Gern. And hey, if you are following us on Twitter at War Room Show, tweet us, hashtag War Room, with your question, and we will answer it for you. So follow us on Twitter at War Room Show. Subscribe to our War Room YouTube channel. You can type in warroom.show to get the access to all of that. In the break, Steve and I were talking about the nonsense going on in the NFL right now. And I didn't even know. Of course I didn't know. This is why they banned it from the internet. I didn't even know that he did a video responding to the NFL players kneeling during the protest. They erased that video from the internet. It's so offensive. But as you were saying, Steve, it is true. They are losing this culture war. Another week of empty seats at NFL football games. Folks, just 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, you wouldn't find an empty seat at any of these football games. Unless your team really sucked and it was the end of the year, football games were pretty much attended to maximum capacity. And now every week you see thousands and thousands of empty seats. You see that the ratings continue to slide. We haven't had the ratings pushed out yet for this week, but I'm sure we'll see the same thing. But it's amazing to me, Steve, that the NFL would chop off their nose to spite their face. You were talking about Alejandro Villanueva, who stands out for the national anthem, puts his hand over his heart, and then he's the one forced to apologize. And it doesn't matter that the NFL's ratings continue to slide. It doesn't matter that he had the number one jersey sell for that week, an offensive lineman, probably never happened before. No, it doesn't matter that he's the patriot that stood up for America. He has to apologize.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It does make sense. I see what's happening. It's this pressure. Obviously, when I saw it, I was so happy to obviously see one guy, you know, this individual who obviously is a...
He's about almost a tearjerker.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a vet, and he did what he knew was right. He absolutely positively did that. And because he received so much scrutiny, because he received so much pressure from his coach, from his team, possibly. I mean, I don't know who else actually supported him, but not enough people did support him that he actually went out and apologized and said it was a mistake.
Crazy.
There's no way it was a mistake. He was not just happened to walk out of the area there and just end up on the field. He was there, and he did it for a purpose. And you know, for him to go back on what he did is kind of breaks me. And a lot of vets feel the same way. And we just, you know, we don't understand.
You know, I feel like this is a slippery slope. I feel like they're going to make you apologize for even serving the country soon. I feel like that'll be the next step. Like, how apologize for your service.
Well, I get it all the time. Sometimes it's funny. Some of the comments I get about, you guys are just warmongers. You know, all you're doing out there is, you know, going pushing hate. And you know, have they all forgotten or have they forgotten how we actually, you know, came about? I mean, we fought for this country. Every vet, you know, fought for this country, which, you know, at one point we were militias, and that's how we beat the British and so on and so forth. And now we're looked at as bad people. It doesn't make sense to me.
The problem is they don't understand and appreciate the Western values that actually changed the world, that actually liberated the world, created the idea of self-government and independence, you know, from the power structure. And it's sad, and they just hate whatever the media tells them to hate. So, you know, if it's the national anthem, then it's going to be the national anthem.
And you're exactly right. The media really pushes this agenda more than anything else. You know, whatever they want to. Nobody does research on their own anymore. You know, if you're going to go on a show or you're going to, you know, talk about something, you should do research on it. You shouldn't go to look at CNN and go, well, whatever CNN's saying, I'm going to repeat that.
CNN said it was an apple.
Yeah. So it's again, that comes back to somebody not being educated. I challenge anybody to look it up and research whatever they're going to talk about prior to going out there and making a statement. Because if you make a statement and it's false, well, you look like an idiot.
Well, it's just like with you, if somebody wants to demonize you for serving the country or, you know, being stationed overseas somewhere, well, they don't even know your political beliefs. They don't even know what you think about the situation.
No, they don't. Every single day I get some, you know, I get this hate mail every single day. And probably a few times today I saw.
Is that your band video right there?
That is.
We found it.
Yeah. And recently, just as recent as today, I get a video where, well, you went out there and you killed millions Iraqis. You killed millions of, you know, Muslims, and that's why you're hated. Well, you know, that's not the case. That's not the case because, believe it or not.
What about all the ones that you saved from car bombs and mines?
You know, the majority of people who are being killed are being killed by their own.
No, exactly.
There is, we don't even put a fraction, you know, during the whole war of actually how many Iraqis were killed by their own people. And they do it right now. It's genocide right now.
And again, you were stationed in Iraq before you got sent back post the viral video. You were in the Marine Corps, just to give people a background if they didn't understand this. I want to get back to the NFL for a second real quick, because there was some really rich, rich irony here, like rich, rich mahogany. Jesse Jackson, NFL owners have plantation mentality, says Jesse Jackson. Now, this is all in response to the owner of the Houston Texans saying we can't have the inmates running the prison, right? Okay, so this is the irony of this, Steve, and I'm not sure if you know how this is doubling back, but so basically what Jesse Jackson is insinuating here is that Bob McNair, the owner of the Texans, is a racist because he is saying that the NFL players are like prison inmates, okay? And that's racist because the NFL is 90% black. So that's the line of reasoning that they're going by here. This guy's a racist. He says we can't have the inmates running the prison. And so this is, according to Reverend Jesse Jackson and all of his minions, this is the NFL owners having a plantation mentality. Okay, wait a second. Last week, the NFL itself was getting behind a bill to stop mandatory minimums. Well, what does that have to do with racial injustice unless you're insinuating that most people in jail are black? So they are the ones that perpetuated most people being in jail are black. That was perpetuated by the NFL. There it is right there, to stop racial injustice. They wanted a bill to stop mandatory minimums. What does that do for racial injustice unless you're insinuating they're all black? And now here they are saying, well, this is unacceptable. This is a racist statement saying the inmates run the prison. Can you believe this madness?
No, I don't believe it. And, you know, everything just seems to be driven by, you know, feelings more than facts. At the end of the day, you know, if you feel a certain way, then, you know, you want to lash out and do something. You know, one of the things I really am trying to understand is, you know, this whole kneeling thing to begin with for oppression.
Oh, they don't even know.
So what NFL player
is oppressed?
Feels oppressed. Making millions of dollars because of, you know, a talent. I get it. You know, if you're talented, great. You know, God bless you. But you're going to say that you're oppressed because of what? What exactly oppression are you under?
Well, Colin Kaepernick only got $1 million advance for a book signing, and he quit a multi-million dollar contract. That is tough. That is a tough life, Steve.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream
right now
at Infowars.com/show.
And we keep expanding in the face of the censorship, and that is because of your support at Infowarsstore.com. And we are running all kinds of great specials right now, 50% off. We've still got 50% off Brainforce right now. This is getting absolutely absurd. I can't believe we still have any left, that it's selling so well and the special is so great, but we still got some left. So we're just going to keep it at 50% off. Brainforce Plus, 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com, one of the most popular products that we have. And of course, that's not all that's 50% off. You've got Silver Bullet, 50% off. That is just a great thing to have in your household for any occasion. Anthroplex, 50% off as well. 50% off Winter Sun. Vitamin D12 with winter right around the corner. This is going to be a necessity come wintertime when you're not getting that vitamin D from the sun. InfoWarsStore.com has the solution, and that's Winter Sun Vitamin D. 4.9 star reviews, under $20 for one of these. And folks, 50% off right now. Get two, get three, get four, get five. Give them out for Christmas gifts. Give some to your kids when they go away to school. Winter Sun, 50% off right now. Winter Sun Vitamin D. So go to InfoWarsStore.com. New t-shirts, new hats, new supplements. You've got a t-shirt. You've got a mug with Paul Joseph Watson's face on it. So come on. Get to the website and take advantage of all that. InfoWarsStore.com. Steve Gern checks out. And tapping into the war room now is Paul Joseph Watson Skyping in from England. And we've got a litany of stuff to talk about, Paul. Let's start off with, I don't know what's more ridiculous, a professor saying having children is racist, or the fact that you're now paying to house ISIS within your borders?
Well, let's start off with the professor, because again, I mean, obviously you've talked about the Russian collusion narrative collapsing ad nauseum. But it shows the desperation. We've got this professor, we can get into that in a second, but related to that, there's an ad that's just come out from a group called the Latino Victory Fund. And the headline is Latino Victory Fund ad features Gillespie voters hunting minority children in the streets. And they literally put out an attack ad, a smear ad, against this Republican gubernatorial candidate, Ed Gillespie. And it's a one-minute ad. It's on YouTube. They can roll it in the background if they get the chance to do that.
Yeah, if you want, Paul, we can just go ahead and roll that right now, guys.
Let's do it.
So there's the nice kids playing in the streets. Oh, and there's the evil Confederate. He's on the streets in his truck. He's coming for you. He's the white male. Here comes that white male in a truck. This is so absurd. It's Ed Gillespie.
Run, run, run!
Now there's a little Muslim girl, a black child, and I guess two Hispanic children, and they're all running from the bad white male in the truck, in the pickup truck with the Confederate flag. He's racing. He's trying to run him down. He's got him pinned against the fence. Oh. Oh. It was only a nightmare.
Is this what Donald Trump and Ed Gillespie mean by the American dream?
Now, the sick part about this to me, Paul, is that they project this hatred onto President Trump and onto right-wingers. But it's actually the media that instills that thought into these people. There's nothing that Trump is doing that should make legal citizens run from pickup trucks or white males. It's the media that's injecting that into people's minds.
Exactly. And just look at the implication there. You've got a guy in a truck with a Gillespie sticker on his truck with a Confederate flag. At the end of the ad, they play the Tiki Torch March from the same people who were at the Charlottesville alt-right neo-Nazi rally. Which
the most fringe element of the right. The most fringe of all.
Exactly. Which we denounce, by the way, on a regular basis, unlike the left, which embraces and celebrates and worships Antifa. But obviously at that event, it culminated in a domestic terror attack where somebody ran down one of these leftist protesters in a vehicle. So the implication is that not only Trump's responsible for that, but now all Republicans are basically responsible for that, implicating them as domestic terrorists who literally want to kill minorities by running them down in the street. Utterly embarrassing. They've been embarrassed on Twitter today over this. Utterly desperate. Again, it shows you the fact that their whole narrative now going into 2018, going into 2020, is the same damn thing they tried for years before 2016, which is why Trump won in the first place. You're racist. You're a Nazi. We don't have any actual policies. So we're just going to drumbeat this over and over again. That is the most ridiculous political campaign.
Shut up, racist. Shut up, racist.
And again, you made the point about the media. At the end of that clip, they show the Charlottesville rally. Those fringe alt-right people wouldn't have a platform if not for the mainstream media with this moral panic saying they're all powerful. This is the vanguard of white supremacy. Owen, you go on their YouTube channels, you go on their Twitter. Tiny, tiny, pathetic audience. They'd be
yeah, there were more protesters than actual
media.
Attendees. At the, what's his name? I can't even think
Richard
of the guy's
Spencer,
name now.
Yeah,
nobody even showed up. There was like five people there.
More camera guys than friggin' people who showed up. It was absolutely pathetic. But he's the big threat. He's leading the far right. It's absolutely dismal propaganda. And, you know, continue with it for all I care. you've had top Democratic strategists who worked for the Clintons, by no means right-wingers, who've come out and said, yeah, looks like Trump's going to win in 2020. Looks like he's going to be in there again, because the Dems have no strategy other than you're a racist, you're a Nazi. It's not going to work. Didn't work before. It's not going to work again.
And it's the identity politics, too, that is another element that has so many people turned off, where Latina victory, is that who Latino victory put? Who is, what is Latino victory over who? What, like, what does that even mean? No, that's just anti-white, anti-American propaganda. That's really what this comes down to. Now, Paul, I mean, you've seen the professors in America. I mean, they make fart noises with their mouths here at their protest. But, you know, now they're telling you if you want to have kids, that's racist, too. I mean, what the heck is going on here?
This is a professor at the City University of New York and Hunter College, Jessie Daniels, a woman, who came out with a series of tweets a few days ago where she literally said, quote, if you're a white person who says they're engaged in dismantling white supremacy, because, of course, we all should be engaged in that, even though it's a complete delusion fantasy. She says, quote,
we should all kill ourselves is what they tell us to do. Yeah.
Well, that's what it basically boils down to. She says you're forming a white family plus reproducing white children that you, quote, want the best for. Oh, God forbid you should want the best for your own frigging family. She says, how is that helping and not part of the problem? So merely the act, if you're white, of having children is now contributing to white supremacy. She went on. She went even further and said, even if you had multiracial children, you could still be part of the problem. So you could even have multiracial children, you're still a white supremacist, you're still contributing to it. This is who's teaching your kids. The extremists are in the universities while the media drones on about the pathetic alt-right that can't get 20 people out to a speaking event. The real extremists are in the universities teaching this absolute anti-human crap to our children. And yeah, it's basically the only way you can stop white supremacy is for your entire lineage to die out, or better yet, just kill yourself, I guess. That's a liberal utopia.
I could stab myself in the throat, and for the 30 seconds that I'm left sucking for air, the left would say that's 30 seconds of air I stole from a minority. And I should probably, you know, do something to rectify those extra 30 seconds I had before I died. All right, well, we've got to go to break here. But on the other side, Paul, let's talk about the fact that ISIS is now being housed in the UK, as well as the latest on Kevin Spacey. You know, folks, Seth MacFarlane made a joke about Harvey Weinstein. He also made a joke about Kevin Spacey. I don't know if you've seen that Family Guy clip yet, Paul, but he made a joke alleging Kevin Spacey had children trapped in his basement. But that's all good and loving. And Kevin Spacey's gay. So if you say anything bad about Kevin Spacey, you are now a homophobe. So watch out for that. We're going to tiptoe that very thin line on the other side with Paul Joseph Watson. We might be homophobes because we don't like Kevin Spacey making sexual advancements towards 14-year-olds. Welcome back to the War Room. Owen Schroyer here with Paul Joseph Watson. And it doesn't matter that ISIS continues to attack in Europe because it's all part and parcel. That's what I'm told. It's all just part and parcel. That's what Mayor Khan told me. So I don't know why Paul Joseph Watson would be so upset that he's now paying to house ISIS members inside the UK. Paul, you might want to check your privilege here, bud.
I called it, Owen. Obviously, this has already been happening in Sweden. They're in the government in Sweden, by the way. I did a story about a year ago where somebody working in the migration board of Sweden was literally on Facebook liking ISIS propaganda while deciding who gets into the country from ISIS-plagued regions of the Middle East. That's who Sweden's got in their government. In fact, we had a big story in the UK as well here a few weeks ago about a convicted terrorist who'd been working for the local council, the government. Now we have this, which we predicted. Council House bribes for UK terror suspects returning ISIS fighters are to be offered taxpayer-funded homes and counselling as well. They're going to be in therapy to stop them carrying out attacks in Britain. So they actually think that they can bribe hardened ISIS jihadists who have just returned from Syria and Iraq by giving them council homes, by giving the poor babies therapy to try and make them feel better, to try and make them, Owen, feel loyal and patriotic to the United Kingdom. Because I'm sure that's going to be an easy sell, isn't it? Given the fact they've just gone to the Middle East to a war zone to fight against Britain, let's just put them in therapy. They can talk through their problems. Oh, and by the way, I'm paying for it. Well, gee, thanks. Meanwhile, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
3,000 actual terrorists roaming the streets that they can't do anything about. 20,000 other potential jihadists, and they're arresting British citizens. 9 people a day are arrested in Britain for, quote, hate speech on the internet. That's just on the internet for mean comments, mostly about Islam, because, again, the biggest concern is Islamophobia, being mean to Muslims, while we literally bring in ISIS fighters. Not only let them in, but give them houses. Not only that, Owen, they get to go to the front of the queue. Oh, so we got British citizens, poor citizens who are struggling, who have been waiting for years to get council houses, to get housing benefit. They go to the back of the queue because we've got an ISIS jihadist coming in and he gets preferential treatment. Okay, the UK is not a serious country anymore. This is a joke. This is us turning into Sweden. It's absolutely pathetic.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Based on your very insensitive and intolerant response to this news, I think that it's actually you that needs the therapy, Paul. I'm not sure why they're giving this therapy to the ISIS members and the loving Muslims that are coming in. It sounds like it's you that actually needs the therapy. So maybe we can do something about this. But actually, on a serious note, what therapy? What is this therapy they're supposedly sending them to?
It's the same idea as you have cases where migrants and jihadists rape women in all these European countries. And they said they don't.
There was a story. I'm sorry to interrupt you. There was a story. 15 Muslim teens raped a donkey and they all had to get treated for rabies. Okay, I'm sorry.
Some cultures are better than others, aren't they? But in Sweden and Germany and these other places, the women get raped. They don't report it to the police because they say, oh, they had a hard time getting here. They came from a war zone, even though the vast majority of them didn't, had nothing to do with any war because they're economic migrants. So it's that kind of thing. That's why they need therapy. They've been through a tough time. They may have beheaded a few people, whatever, who hasn't, right? So just let them in, give them housing, put them to
Yeah, just let them borrow your donkey.
Yeah. And they're not too keen on dogs apart from when they actually want to do something similar to that with dogs. So that's going to be another, you know, form of cultural enrichment that we all get to enjoy. Meanwhile, they're visiting people's houses who criticize Islam on Twitter at 9:30 at night when they don't even live in the country anymore. There's a guy called Peter Sweden who's actually been a guest on InfoWars.
Yeah, he's great. He does great work.
9:30. Yeah, the hate crimes unit. Bearing in mind we're literally having to beg police officers who have retired to come out of retirement because there are staff shortages. There's no money for the police. Oh, there's plenty of money for the hate crimes thought police, though, to go out and harass people because they said Islam wasn't a religion of peace. Meanwhile, that's letting all the ISIS jihadists. Great. That's why this country's a joke.
I'm expecting your doors to get knocked down here and for you to be raided any second right now for the hate speech that you're guilty of right now on this show. My guess is you're probably going to have something negative to say about Kevin Spacey, who made a sexual advance on a 14-year-old boy. My guess is you probably have something wrong with that, too, don't you, you hater?
I would argue, Owen, that we need to focus on the issue, which is the 14-year-old boy being molested by an adult. That's by a famous celebrity massive actor. That seems to be the main issue. That would be the biggest story in the aftermath of the Harvey Weinstein fallout. What's the biggest story out of this for the mainstream media? Kevin Spacey's gay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's focus on that. That's
oh, he's so brave.
So brave. Listen,
no, he's brave.
Headlines, ABC News. Bearing in mind, the guy came out and said he did this to me, he threw me down on the bed, he climbed on top of me when I was 14 years old. This
Good
is how
night.
ABC News responded, their headline. I choose now to live as a gay man. Kevin Spacey comes out in emotional tweet. Oh, poor baby. Reuters, actor Kevin Spacey declares he lives life as a gay man. New York Daily News, Kevin Spacey announced Sunday night he will live as a gay man. That's not the story. Most people knew that anyway. The story is he's an alleged child molester. In fact, he's basically admitted to it. House of Cards has been cancelled now because of that. That's the story. Again, it shows you how they
Paul,
protect their own. Go ahead.
Just to throw something in real quick, Paul and Owen, more people are coming out now going up against Spacey saying that he's basically a boy raper and that he also was like assaulting women. So this is the darling of the establishment. This is a day long remembered. We knew it was coming. Just what do you make of this? Kevin Spacey now has House of Cards has been canceled. The House of Cards is coming down. The House of Cards is coming down.
Well, I think they made that role cut out for Kevin Spacey because they knew he was such just a sicko, and they knew that he could play that role better than anyone else.
He does play exceedingly well, doesn't he? The sociopathic role, and this kind of tells us why that might have been the case. Also, Owen, we had up on Infowars.com earlier, of course, Kevin Spacey was on the Lolita Express with the pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, not saying that anything criminal happened, but he was on a private jet that literally, you know, had child sex slaves on board. Again, no connection whatsoever.
Yeah, Bill Clinton would ditch his Secret Service, yeah.
Yeah, Bill Clinton took 26 trips, ditched Secret Service for 5 of those trips. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about.
And hey, you know what, Paul? I'm sure that this is just a coincidence, too. Let's have this clip. You know, Seth MacFarlane joked about Harvey Weinstein years ago when he gave out an award, I think it was at the Oscars or something. Then Harvey Weinstein goes down. Now here's Family Guy, written by Seth MacFarlane, joking about Kevin Spacey having children in his basement.
I'm escaped from Kevin Spacey's basement.
Oh, so what does Seth MacFarlane know? What's going on in Kevin Spacey's basement with children?
Absolutely incredible. And again, this is the guy who was on this private jet. It was set up for the purposes of procuring child sex slaves. But again, there's no evidence that Kevin Spacey was involved in any of that, obviously. But again, the media is focusing on the fact that he was gay. That's not the story. Weinstein's not the story. The story is Corey Feldman and this pedophile ring, which, by the way, you've probably seen. He did an interview with Matt Lauer today. And yep. Matt Lauer gave Corey Feldman, a pedophile victim, the harder time than he's given any other politician or anyone he's interviewed on that show. So Matt Lauer had his Barbara Walters moment. And again,
Feldman just watched that interview. And I totally agree. It wasn't as bad as Barbara Walters, but he did get on him. But Feldman destroyed him. We can get the clip for you. It's up on Infowars.com and play it in the first 5 minutes of the next hour, Paul, if you can stay here, because it's so powerful. But I've talked to Hollywood sources for years and people that are just on production. Anytime Kevin Spacey shows up, he finds the youngest person, even from high school, whatever, that's kind of assigned as just a standard intern, and quote, takes them under his wing. And so Feldman talks about how they had these Disney style soda fountain type clubs in LA for people like 10, 11, 12, 13, up to 16 years of age. And he says, you investigate those, the whole thing comes down. But I tell you, Paul, what is it like to see all this happening right now?
It's incredible because you know they don't want it to go that further step because, as we saw with the Jimmy Savile thing, this implicates not only entertainers, and by the way, in every major pedophile bust across the world in every country, it always involves entertainers and celebrities, but they're in league with the politicians, with the people who actually run the country. That is the next step, and they know that if they allow this to get leaked with the Hollywood pedophile scandal, it's going to lead to those politicians, those powerful people who are involved, and that's going to bring the whole house of cards, no pun intended, tumbling down.
It's just a coincidence that Bill and Hillary Clinton hang out with all these people and fly around on the Lolita Express. Come on. Here's your intolerance showing again, Paul. Hey, but on the other side, we're going to have that video, Corey Feldman on the Today Show with Rat Lauer talking about the pedophile network. Don't go anywhere.
I said the joint was rocking, going round and round, yeah, reeling and rocking, what a crazy sound. And they never stopped rocking till the moon went down.
You're listening to the sworn enemy of fake news. It's the War Room with Roger Stone at Infowars.com/show.
Well, there's a big, fat, stinking, pink elephant in the room, and it's a bunch of pedophiles, and television and mainstream news is finally starting to poke at it and point at it in curiosity. Here was Corey Feldman on the Today Show with Rat Lauer.
It's raised just under $200,000, correct? Okay. Is that about right? So it's going to take a long time to raise $10 million.
We've got 2 months.
And you've just told me that this is still prevalent in Hollywood. So every day you wait, every day you try to raise money, I would imagine you believe that children are being abused by pedophiles in
Hollywood.
So why are you sitting down talking to me? Why aren't you sitting down with the police right now?
I've told the police. In fact, if anybody wants to go back to 1993 when I was interviewed by the Santa Barbara Police Department, I sat there and I gave them the names. They're on record. They have all of this information, but they were scanning Michael Jackson. All they cared about was trying to find something on Michael Jackson.
Who you said, by the way, did not abuse you.
Who Michael was innocent, and that was what the interview was about with the police in 1993. I told them he is not that guy, and they said, well, maybe you just don't understand your friend. And I said, no, I know the difference between pedophiles and somebody who's not a pedophile because I've been molested. Here's the names. Go investigate. And let me push this forward. There are thousands of people in Hollywood who have the same information. Why is it all on me? Why is it if I don't release the names in the next 2 months, 6 months, or a year, I'm the bad guy? I'm the victim here. I'm the one who's been abused. I'm the one who's trying to come forward and do something about it.
But there are,
hold on, please, I'm sorry. There are thousands of people out there, Matt, who have this information. Any one of those child actors that went to the teenage soda pop clubs with me when I was a kid know who those people are and the people who ran it. Anybody can go back through history and look at the teen magazines and say, what was the name of that venue they were all promoting and who ran that venue who endorsed it?
You've said you've had death threats.
Yes.
Because you have this information and have threatened to expose it. Another reason, I think, to go to police, that's a crime to threaten someone's life.
I've gone to the police with that as well.
And what would be wrong with going to the police now again? Didn't work out in Santa Barbara.
There's a statute of limitations, Matt, in the state of California, which protects people. It's not that way in New York. It's that way only where the movie industry is, conveniently enough, in California. Mm. That's the seriousness of this. You cannot, because if I were to go to the police, I would be the one who's getting sued. Henceforth, I need a team of lawyers, and I need a team of security to be around me at all times to keep me safe so I can get this message done.
Real quickly.
Not playing around. It's serious stuff, and I vow I will release every single name that I have any knowledge of, period. And nobody's going to stop me this time, as long as people support this.
Paul, that video to me seems like it's going to live in infamy and something that will be played back over and over again for years to come as what Trump said, the calm before the storm.
Yeah, and the other bit which you didn't get a chance to play is Matt Lauer constantly interrogating him over why does he need to raise money? Well, he's making a movie. It requires, you know, screenwriters and actors and a theatrical release. Huge amount of PR, huge amount of lawyers to protect him, security to protect his family. That requires a vast amount of money. But again, the questions are always, why do you need $10 million? Why do you need $10 million? Again, you know, people can raise all kinds of money for left-wing activist projects. They never get questioned. He dares do it for such a vital project, and he's on the rack for it. But we'll see what happens with it. People need to go and support his fundraiser to get that movie out to name these pedophiles, and we'll see if anything comes out of it.
Yeah, it's really incredible. All of this is going on at the same time. You've got the Russia thing going on. I mean, it's just madness. We've got Trump in the White House. It's truly crazy, Paul. Try to stay safe over there. Try not to be guilty of any thought crime. If you pass an ISIS member on the street today, try to be nice and tolerant, and just don't bring your donkey anywhere around those no-go zones. All right, Paul?
I'll try to do that, Owen. Thanks.
All right, there goes Paul. Hey, if you like Paul's mug, you can literally get it on a mug at InfoWarsStore.com. Conservatism is the new counterculture. Mug at InfoWarsStore.com featuring Paul Joseph Watson. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have Roger Stone on the other side.
Let's make talk radio great again.
This is the War Room.
Welcome back to the War Room, folks. Did you know that InfoWars has 10 hours of live broadcast every day now? That's right. What started with the Alex Jones Show has now become a world-changing media operation, and it's InfoWars.com. And the way we're able to grow is because of you. We don't get big donations from George Soros types. We don't get government stimulus packages. We get nothing. In fact, we get censored by those types of people. But it's you that are the heart and the blood and the spine and the legs and the brain, everything of InfoWarsStore.com. You make it all possible by supporting us at InfoWarsStore.com. So take advantage of some of the specials we have right now. We've got 50% off Silver Bullet, 50% off Brain Force, 50% off Anthroplex, 50% off Winter Sun Vitamin D. These are all great specials at InfoWarsStore.com. Guys, let's pull up the t-shirt, though. This t-shirt, let me tell you something about this t-shirt, Jack. Let me tell you about this t-shirt, Jack. You're going to want to get this t-shirt, especially coming up this weekend with a bunch of Antifas running around. They're going to be needing they're going to need someone to put a binky in their mouth. They're going to be screaming and shouting. You got to walk up to them. You got to put a little binky in their mouth. You got to shut them up a little bit. But there it is, folks, the anti-fascist, anti-communist t-shirt. Trigger the left this November and beyond with the InfoWars.com anti-fascist, anti-communist t-shirt, because we are the real anti-fascists. We are the real anti-communist pro-Americans. So you can get that limited time t-shirt at InfoWarsStore.com. And that is limited time, folks. Limited time. And you already know that the advertisement that we shot for this, the InfoWar Dogs advertisement we shot for this t-shirt, is going viral. So this t-shirt's going to sell out quick. So you need to get to InfoWarsStore.com and get your anti-fascist, anti-communist shirt before it sells out, which I would imagine is going to be pretty soon. So that's fine. It will sell out, and we'll have plenty of other t-shirts at InfoWarsStore.com for you. But that's the shirt you're going to want, especially with November coming around the corner. InfoWarsStore.com, thank you so much for all of your support. We've got Roger Stone about to join us here, folks. It's amazing. Here, let me just get into some of this before we get Roger on here. What you're going to see here, I guarantee you this. I guarantee this. That whatever comes of the Paul Manafort and Gates, and I forget the Garopoulos, its name that you wouldn't even believe it. Can't think of the name right now. Excuse me. But whatever comes of those three and the potential, don't even try to say it in my ear. I'm just going to get confused. So we'll just say, what is it, GP, Greg P. Let's call him Greg P for now. Whatever comes of these three, it's going to backfire on the Democrats. I guarantee it. As soon as I saw this news this morning, I knew that was going to happen, and that's why I tweeted it out. And then, Tony Podesta stepping down from lobbying giant amid Mueller probe. Tony Podesta. Well, good old Tony Podesta can go back to collecting his fine art that he may have gotten from Kevin Spacey's basement. I really don't know. But Tony Podesta announced his decision Monday that he is going to be stepping down from the firm that bears his name after coming under investigation by special counsel Robert Mueller. Oh my gosh, the Podestas were part of the probe. Who told you that? Who told you it was going to be the Podestas? Oh my gosh, that wasn't Roger Stone. That wasn't InfoWars.com. Oh wait, yes it was. Oh. So Politico's Anna Palmer prints this story today. You're just a month behind InfoWars, that's all. That's all. Yeah. So, but this is just the first domino, so don't even worry about that. Tony Podesta is just domino number one, folks. Trust me on that one. Now, I forget exactly what Jerry Corsi tweeted today of InfoWars.com, but when I read this story, I was reminded of it. And again, I forgot the exact words. But basically, Corsi is insinuating that they perhaps even broke the law to get some of this intel on Mueller. And then Law's News has the story today. Did Mueller's team violate Manafort's constitutional rights? They may have. And, of course, if that's the case, then that evidence can't hold up in court. Roger, you have also been attacked by these people. They've come after you. They've now censored you, by the way. I'm glad that you come on with us because they censor you on Twitter. But what are you hearing about potential constitutional violations here with the probe into Mueller's group?
Well, first of all, I think you have a number of factors. My understanding was that Mueller's charge was Russian collusion as it pertained to the 2016 election. Yet the charges today have nothing whatsoever to do with any of that. They basically charge with Manafort with everything but the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. But none of it pertains to Russia. They also indicted his deputy, a fellow named Gates. And then separately, they indicted a fellow, I think I have this right, named Papadopoulos. And I think that that is
Attaboy, Roger. One of us can get it right.
Yeah. In any event, that is, I think, the crux of a very weak case. This fellow, Papadopoulos, seems to have written memos to people in Russia saying that he was setting up meetings with the top brass of the Trump campaign. But it turns out that this guy was never a paid Trump campaign staffer. He was a member of one of these honorific issue advisory groups, which every presidential campaign has. But those people have no authority, no autonomy, and they're not very plugged in. He may have thought.
And he wasn't getting paid either, correct? He was a volunteer, from my understanding.
That's correct. He was a volunteer, much like Carter Page, I might add. The key point, though, is I'm told that Manafort memorialized in writing at the time, this is a crazy idea, absolutely not, we will have no such meetings, and so on. And that this volunteer's document, or his email, was turned over by the White House. So I think there's nothing here. There's no evidence that any of these proposed meetings between the top brass and the Trump campaign and the coterie of top aides around Vladimir Putin ever took place. It's a harebrained idea. I think Manafort denounced it as such at the time. Presumably, therefore, I think we know the play here, don't we, Owen? This is, you know, give us the bigger fish. Isn't that the name of the game?
Well, there's two things, though, that are even more confusing about this to me, Roger, is the fact that, as you mentioned, this doesn't actually get into anything regarding the election, which was the whole purpose of this thing, was to look into Russian influence in the election. They don't have anything there. But also, you have nitwits, total fops, like Jake Tapper, who report that Manafort pled guilty. A complete lie.
Yeah, be careful about calling Jake Tapper a fop, Owen, or they might ban you on Twitter.
Well, I'm not on Twitter right now. If I do go on Twitter, I might call him a sucker, though.
Well, that might get you banned. We'll talk about that in the next segment. Let's stay on this particular thing. Look, here's the fundamental flaw in their strategy. They plan to go to Manafort, as I have said before on InfoWars, and say, okay, Manafort, we've got you. We're going to get you for tax evasion or illegal wire transfers or whatever, unless you admit you were colluding with Russia and Donald Trump knew everything. In other words, Manafort, we want you to lie. We want you to bear false witness against the president. We want you to perjure yourself, and then we'll go easy on you. I've known Paul Manafort 50 years. He is a great Italian-American. He is tough as nails, and he is not going to make up stories about the president of the United States for Robert Mueller or anyone else.
We'll be right back. I think it gives you a bit of a hint as to where guilt actually lies, as Paul Manafort is going to plead not guilty and he's going to fight these charges. Meanwhile, Tony Podesta is running like a rat into the sewer to try to avoid any probe coming back on him. But Roger, with all of this going down and we've seen what the president has been tweeting, what is President Trump going to do about this witch hunt?
Well, he's exactly right. I think that Mr. Mueller has moved because I think he knows that between Uranium One and the revelation that the Obama Justice Department had a full and extensive investigation into Russian bribery in connection with the effort to get approval of a Canadian company acquired by the Russians, obtaining 20% of the uranium mining rights in the United States, coupled with the fact that it's becoming very clear that the dirty dossier, the smear dossier manufactured and fabricated about Donald Trump's time in Russia during the Miss Universe pageant, became a vehicle to tap into government surveillance of Manafort, Trump, and others. So they have a giant problem now that the dirty dossier has been tied first to Paul Singer, a Republican money man, a story broken here at InfoWars, and then to Hillary Clinton's campaign, the Democratic National Committee, and then ultimately, incredibly, to the FBI, including the role of John McCain in terms of moving this bogus document, this smear document. I think they see the weight of all these things. Now, the president's absolutely right. That's where the focus should be. I think it is vitally important that the Senate Judiciary Committee call Mr. Mueller, call Mr. Rosenstein, both of whom had a supervisory role in the investigation into Uranium One, because they have a lot of hard questions to answer. Why was this cover-up allowed to go forward? Why was the transaction allowed to go forward? I think you need ultimately for the president to direct his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor, Mike Mukasey, Andrew McCarthy, even Judge Andrew Napolitano, somewhat of impeccable credentials, to probe exactly what happened in Uranium One. I would point out to you that if Mueller and Comey, both of whom headed the FBI during this probe, and Mr. McCabe, who's involved in supervising the probe, and Mr. Rosenstein, who at the time was the U.S. attorney involved in the probe, are under criminal investigation, they cannot serve in this effort to smear the president by inducing Paul Manafort to lie. And therefore, the president should move aggressively to do what Congressman Matt Gaetz and Congressman Trey Gowdy have urged him to do, which is to appoint a special prosecutor in the matter of Uranium One.
Now, I get the feeling that this entire thing is going to backfire on the Democrats. That's just what history would say. Everything else they've tried to wage against Trump has completely backfired on them, especially with this Russia thing, because they've been so obsessive with it. And it's going to end up being back on them. They won't be able to put that genie back in the bottle, I think, because of their obsession with it. But just to get away from President Trump's reaction to this real quick, Roger, where is Jeff Sessions?
That's a superb question. Why is the Trump Justice Department fighting in federal court, even as we speak, to against the release of Hillary's emails? Look, the Mueller operation is a rogue operation. Normally, special counsels are appointed when a law has been violated. There's a case to be brought, but there's some reason why the Justice Department has a conflict. In this case, there no identified law has yet been broken. And Mr. Sessions, Attorney General Sessions, had recused himself. The president certainly didn't direct Mr. Rosenstein to appoint a special prosecutor. Mr. Sessions didn't direct him to do so. So he did so as his own idea on the basis of what illegality. So a crony of Mr. Mueller's, Mr. Rosenstein, who he is ironically jammed up with in the Uranium One matter, took it upon themselves to start this witch hunt. A witch hunt, I might add, that the Democrats are waiting in with bated breath to utilize as the hook for an impeachment drive, an attempt to remove the president. Now, I do think, and I've always thought, that a 25th Amendment strategy was the establishment's backup play. But first, we're going to try to run this play. Now, what we don't know is whether Mueller laid out these charges against Papadopoulos, whoever he is, because he needed to have something Russia related in the news today, or whether that's the core of his case. If that's the core of his case, sounds to me like Paul Manafort has a pretty strong defense, at least on any of those charges. I don't think he approved any meetings with Russians. I don't think any such meetings took place.
Well, and I think it's very honorable and patriotic what Paul Manafort is basically going through right now, and he's not going to sell this country or President Trump out. But it kind of reminds me, Roger, of what happened to you just under a month ago, or I guess we're almost going to be a month ago now. Wow, time flies. Roger Stone's Russian. We're going to get that Roger Stone. And so then they have the hearing, you testify, and then it's crickets.
Yeah, no, look, it's very clear that the goal was to get the following headline. Trump associate admits a conversation with Russian hacker. Well, first of all, I dispute vigorously that the entity known as Guccifer 2.0 is a Russian. And I also dispute now whether he hacked anything. I don't think the DNC was hacked. And then secondarily, after that smear, you know, I had to go through the House Intelligence Committee star chamber proceeding, where I would have to admit, I think the Republicans were interested in getting to the bottom of the question of whether what there was or was not collusion, coordination, or conspiring with any Republican entity, Russian entity, or the Russian state, or anyone fronting for the Russians. The Democrats seem to be on more of a fishing expedition, trying to find some hole in what you were telling them. But I reiterate now what I said then. Julian Assange is not a Russian asset. There is no proof to that. It's an allegation. He's a crusading journalist. Everything he's reported, as you know, Owen, has been correct and accurate. No one has questioned the veracity or the authenticity.
And real quick, I want to get to this before break, because we also learned from Julian Assange that the Democrats moved up the release of the Billy Bush tape in response to his release of the WikiLeaks. So that's another angle I think we're dealing with here, Roger, is that with all the other breaking news that's going against them, they have to try to reinsert the Russia into the main narrative.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Look, I was heartened yesterday when Julian Assange was among of those who objected to Twitter's ban on my very popular and pungent and somewhat controversial Twitter feed. Folks just don't know what they're going to be missing.
I got to tell you, Roger, maybe we'll get into this on the other side, but when I saw those tweets, I was cheering. I was literally jumping up and down like, yes, yes, yes. But we like Don Lemon. He's a nice guy.
This is the return
of the Republic.
And this is the War Room with Roger Stone.
Watch the live stream
right now at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone with my colleague Owen Scheuer here at the War Room. We're very proud of the fact that it was Infowars.com that broke a number of big stories this week. First of all, we told you in advance that President Trump was going to declassify the JFK documents. We reported on the intelligence agency's rear guard action to redact and hold back and hide most of that material. The president ultimately overruled them on that. We told you that it was Paul Singer, the Bush Rubio money man, Wall Street hedge fund manager, billionaire, who financed the original iteration and research into the so-called dirty dossier, dubbed Peepygate by Alex Jones, in which a former British intelligence agent essentially helped falsify and fabricate a bogus claim against Donald Trump, a claim that became the basis, believe it or not, for FBI, or I should say NSA, surveillance of Donald Trump and his top aides, and the ultimate unmasking by both our UN ambassador, Samantha Powers, and the National Security Advisor, Susan Rice. In other words, the use of government machinery for the purposes of political espionage. Richard Nixon would be rolling in his grave, Owen.
Well, we've got all of the political intrigue, but there's all the intrigue is on Trump's side. We already know what the Clintons did. We already know what the Podestas did. This trial has already gone through the public perspective, and we already know that she's guilty of sin. So it's amazing to...
What we don't have is a Justice Department prepared to do its job. We have a politicized Justice Department that is still in the control of the globalist neocon establishment folks like Mr. Rosenstein. Rosenstein's appointment within the realm of a Trump Justice Department is unthinkable. He is a never Trumper from Maryland. He was recommended for this job by Elijah Cummings, the congressman from Baltimore, who is one of the most virulent anti-Trump Democrats in the U.S. Congress. And his candidacy was pushed, strangely enough, by Reince Priebus, the former Republican national chairman. I had an inquiry from Associated Press today about the high number of Bush alum in the Trump administration. Boy, there it is. Bingo. At the end of the day, the decision by the president, a good man with a good heart and a solid reform agenda and a great deal of courage, turns over his government to Reince Priebus and sadly to his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. And he gives them, they get an extraordinary number of Bush retreads. Trump ran as an anti-interventionist. The Trump people are globalists. This is at the end of the day, if the president should fail, God forbid, it will be because he opened the door to these many quislings.
Roger, what do you make of the Democrats right now in a rearguard action of their own trying to protect Mueller as a head of this investigation? Democrats, this is from the Washington Times, Democrats demanded Monday that Congress approve a bill preventing the special counsel from being fired after Robert Mueller unsealed charges against three former Trump campaign officials. To me, this is the Democrats basically saying, okay, for us, it's either Mueller or bust, because anyone else gets in there, they're actually going to have a real investigation.
Well, the point, of course, is the president doesn't need to fire Mr. Mueller. He needs to demand the appointment of a special prosecutor who will open an investigation into Mueller's role in Uranium One. Under that circumstances, Mr. Mueller would have no choice but to step down. The president wouldn't have fired anybody. But it is time for the Justice Department to do its job and stop being an arm for the Democratic National Committee and their agenda to achieve through the judicial process and a trumped up bogus charge what they could not achieve at the ballot box, which is to say, take out Donald J. Trump. Oh, I'm sorry. So the other point here that I might as well dive into now is this insane idea that because of Mueller's leak to CNN, that there were sealed indictments, which was meant to put further pressure on those accused, I assume, was this idea that I had a meltdown on Twitter. What got my attention was Don Lemon saying that the Clintons had been exonerated in Uranium One, that there are fact checks that show they had nothing whatsoever to do with it. This is imbecilic. It's just moronic. What planet does this guy live in? Now, yes, my Twitter feed is pungent and it's direct and it's to the point, but I'm being held to a different standard than, say, Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann drops the F-bomb on the president of the United States himself virtually every day. Meanwhile, people threaten to kill me, kill my wife, kill my children, even kill my dogs. And Twitter doesn't do anything about that. Now, Twitter informed me that I was temporarily suspended for 3 hours. At that point, it was 3 hours and 22 minutes on Saturday morning. I waited. They never informed me as to what specific tweet violated their guidelines, and they never told me that I was permanently banned. They simply said I would be restored, my functions would be restored on Twitter in 3 hours and 22 minutes. And in the meantime, I could still see my old tweets and I could still see what others on my feed were tweeting. At the end of that time period, a box came up telling me that I was suspended and my 295,000 followers disappeared. I still have not been told by anyone at Twitter that I am permanently banned, although they have told a number of media outlets that that is the case. I'm sorry that I offended their snowflake ears, but I have seen far, far worse on Twitter by our critics. And therefore, I think this is part and parcel of the effort by the tech left and the folks at Twitter to clean out, or I should say, silence conservative voices. We saw it in the case of Milo. We've seen it in other cases. Fortunately, the folks at Stone Cold Truth cover my exploits. I don't control the feed, but they cover my exploits. You can also go to Stoneflick, which is the feed for the official feed for Get Me Roger Stone. I don't control that feed either, but they do cover what I'm thinking, saying, writing, and doing. And of course, you can always go to the InfoWars Twitter feed, where a large number of the pieces we do here, all of the best investigative journalism that we produce from the War Room, can be seen right there. So if you are having if you're jonesing for Roger Stone Twitter snark, you can find it if you look for it.
Well, Roger, I got to tell you, I reviewed those tweets. There was nothing in those tweets that was inaccurate. So,
I take the same view. But again, I think I'm being held to an extraordinary standard. And fine, if they wanted to suspend me for 3 hours and 20 minutes, I would have accepted their suspension. To tell you the truth, I'd even take offending tweets down now that they have been posted. No one tweet is actually that important. But now they leave me no choice but to explore the possibility of legal action, which I prefer not to do. But if they are going to be, if they're going to be political handmaidens for the Democratic Party, if they're going to censor conservatives when they don't censor liberals under their guidelines, then they're really kind of leaving me no choice.
How dare you offend Don Lemon, the Lemonhead from CNN? I mean, unbelievable, Roger. Infowars.com. Tomorrow's news today. Infowars.com. Next week's news today. Infowars.com. Next month's news today. Infowars.com. Next year's news today. And yes, Infowars.com. Next decade's news today. Now, why do I bring us into that segment like that? Because you're seeing it now. Tony Podesta stepping down from lobbying giant amid Mueller probe. Roger, we talked about the Podestas being wrapped up in Russia weeks ago, months ago. I mean, honestly, you've been talking about this forever. There's Tony Podesta right there. He's got a good taste in art, though, right? His weird art is normal. But no, Roger, you said when this whole Russia thing started coming down, you said, wait a second, if we're going to go down this barrel, don't worry, the Podestas are going to be at the end of it.
Well, look, the Podestas' extensive business dealings in Russia, the bank deal, the uranium deal, the Gazprom deal, was all revealed in the Panama Papers as early as January 2016. And Dr. Jerry Corsi did extraordinary reporting, first at World Net Daily, and then later at InfoWars, about the incredible business activities of the Podestas in connection with the oligarchs around Vladimir Putin. The fact that John Podesta had gotten $35 million, whether it was stock or cash, I don't recall, But it was that I referred to when I said John Podesta's time in the barrel will come. Remember the context. This is a time that Manafort is taking a beating for his perfectly legal business activities in the Ukraine. We now know the New York Times story, which was designed to get Manafort fired or at least relieved at the Trump campaign and was successful, is based on a fraud. The ledger that is found in some party club clubhouse, which alleges $12.5 million in payments to Paul Manafort by this perfectly legal political party in Ukraine, is a forgery. As the chief prosecutor in that case has come forward and that no charges are pending and there's no ongoing investigation of Mr. Manafort. You won't read that in the New York Times, of course. So if Manafort was going to have this kind of distortion of what he was doing, why shouldn't there be accurate reporting of the Podesta's profiteering on their relationship with Bill and Hillary? Again, I told the House Intelligence Committee under oath, I say it again now, no, there is not any iota of evidence that I knew about the hacking of John Podesta's email by whoever hacked it and gave it to WikiLeaks. I never said I did. I never claimed I did. I never made any allusions to it. Talking about scrutiny of John Podesta, I never mentioned his emails. The scrutiny was merited, and those stories were ultimately covered by Bloomberg, The Wall Street Journal, and numerous other mainstream outlets.
One of the charges that they are levying against Manafort is omission of financial data when it was supposed to be provided. Ironically, not shocking, the double standard here, that is exactly what Hillary Clinton is guilty of when it comes to the fake dossier. Hillary Clinton funded, the Clinton campaign funded that dossier, the research, and for it to be released, did not file with the FEC for that funding. Of course, today they're all saying, you know, we have no idea where, who funded it, how it got funded. Well, we have no idea, but that was illegal. So the same thing that they're coming down on Manafort for, they're guilty of themselves again.
That's exactly right. And as I recall, there was some question about whether Podesta had properly reported this enormous windfall of Russian bank stock that he had acquired. Same issue. From the beginning, and this is a trend that Alex Jones noticed first, everything that they accuse us of turns out to be something that they themselves are doing. It's projection. It is a constant effort to divert attention from their own misdeeds by falsely accusing us of doing what they have done. They were the ones spying on American citizens illegally, conducting political espionage that would make Richard Nixon turn in his grave. Peanuts compared to what allegedly happened at Watergate. They are the ones who were using the U.S. government apparatus to conduct political spying. They were the ones financing this smear document against our president and then using it as an excuse to get the government involved in the spying I just discussed. So it is the Clintons who are lining their pockets through the oligarchs with close relationships with Vladimir Putin. Virtually everything they accuse the president of is what they themselves have done.
Roger, it's my opinion that the reason we're seeing such a backlash from the deep state, from the establishment, specifically, though, looking at what had been at the top of the Democrat Party with Hillary Clinton and the Podestas, I think that what we're dealing with here are probably some of the biggest criminals in the world. And I'm talking about the Podestas and Hillary Clinton. And because Trump is not a criminal that's willing to sell out this country amongst other dealings the Podestas are involved in other than their art and Hillary Clinton and the Clinton Foundation with Laura Silsby. But I think that what we're seeing here, Roger, is that these are literally the sickest, most corrupt, evil people that have been walking Earth for the longest time. And because Trump is not one of them, they are literally freaking out. They don't know what to do. They're literally scared for their lives because if justice ever befalls them, it will be swift and it will not be pleasant.
Owen, I could not agree more. In my recent experience on Twitter, where they seek to censor me, drives me once more to say, we need folks to go to the Infowars.com store. We are fighting this tech left censorship every single day. We don't have billionaire benefactors standing in the wings about to write us checks so that we can spread the good word of freedom and the message of anti-globalism. We can only depend on the average info warrior to give us your support. Now, Alex Jones has posted some of the biggest discounts I have ever seen at the store. And I know from experience in my many trips to Austin, there are no products available at the Infowars.com store that aren't rigorously tested and deemed to be the very best of their type. Whether you're talking about the supplements or other or natural products, this is the best of the best. And these prices are extraordinary. 50% off of Anthroplex, 50% off of my personal favorite, Brain Force, which I find gives you extraordinary mental clarity and energy. The Survival Shield X, Bio True Selenium, Super Male Vitality at 30% off. I should say Bio True Selenium at 40% off. These prices will not last for long. I can see this stuff is flying off the shelves. I have gotten on the wait list myself sometimes when they run out of some of my favorite products because I failed to order when I saw the deep discounts just because I was so busy. I recommend the auto ship function because if you're busy, it not only locks in the sale price, but you can be guaranteed that there's an uninterrupted supply of your favorite supplements. So folks, do yourself a favor. It is, as Alex Jones would say, a 360-degree double win. You win, we win, the fight for freedom wins. Owen, why don't you close us out here?
Well, Roger, I just got one more thing for you. Don't step away too quick. What are the odds? And I remember, again, InfoWars, tomorrow's news today, next year's news today. I remember, I can't remember if you were saying this too, but I remember Alex Jones was saying this. Paul Joseph Watson was saying this. Now PJ Media reports it. Was the Trump camp's meeting with Russian lawyer all a Clinton setup? Roger, final comment here. We got a minute left. What are the odds that the meeting with Veselnitskaya, who was also then found on the Hill right behind people in the literally in government, U.S. government, but it's apparently bad for Don Jr. to be meeting with her. What are the odds that that entire meeting was a setup?
It sure smells that way to me. There's one simple question, Owen. How did a woman with no visa get into the country? Why Obama. Did the FBI allow her into the country? Yes, it smells like a setup, and I don't think Don Jr. did anything wrong. The meeting was innocuous, meaningless. Nothing whatsoever of any meaning was discussed. But in a presidential campaign, if someone you know, in this case the British publicist, says that this woman is real and she may have evidence of malfeasance by your opponent, you'd be derelict not to meet with her. Nothing and illegal now, or improper about it.
That's right. It's commonplace. And now the connection has been made between Veselnitskaya and Fusion GPS. Oh, how convenient is that? Roger Stone breaking it all down as usual. Thanks, Roger. We'll speak with you tomorrow.
Great to be with you, as always.
The War Room. Infowars.com/.
The silent majority is no longer silent. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to be joined by Craig Sawyer, and he is right now waging a war to rid our country of child trafficking. Here is an update on his efforts.
Hi, everybody. Craig Sawyer with Veterans for Child Rescue. I want to address something that's going on right now. My inbox has been bombed with hundreds and hundreds of messages to have me help actor Corey Feldman in his quest to get the word out about the Hollywood pedophilia and the abuse that he and Corey Haim and others have endured. Look, folks, I'm all about it. I'm offering my assistance to him in that regard. Now, I'll walk you through it a little bit, but please stop your requests. I'm sure he's seen hundreds of messages already with my name and Veterans for Child Rescue, and I've seen hundreds or if not thousands out there. So let's stop that. The message has gotten out. But what I want to address is, Corey, man, if you can hear this video, somebody gets this to you, look, I can get you on InfoWars. I've been on all the major news networks at one time or another for different events. But in case you haven't noticed, they're not inclined to cover pedophilia. That's not on their agenda. They have suppressed it for decades. I can get you on InfoWars because Alex let me know, hey, he's willing to have you on because he wants to get the word out. And he's got, the reason InfoWars can be valuable is he's got senior intelligence community officials that know what's really going on, that don't answer to the mainstream news media gatekeepers, and will tell them, the American public, what's really going on, no matter how uncomfortable it is. So I can get you on there, and that's why I offer that platform. And through doing that, he's got a lot of high rollers that watch that may be inclined to fund your protection. Now, another thing that I've got is Vets for Child Rescue is not a protection firm. In other words, we're not a global response firm that mobilizes a protective team, although that's what a lot of us have done. I've personally run the details for some of the highest ranking officials of U.S. government and some of the hottest war zones over the years. So a lot of my friends now own and run different companies that offer high threat protection contracting and others. So I can reach to these friends, and I know all the guys that run the protection, the best guys. So I can provide them to you. It's just a matter of funding. So we need to get in front of the public and rally that funding to get this taken care of for you. I'd like to see you succeed. I'd like to see you survive to get the word out. But make no mistake, the people that want to shut you up, big political players, I don't know how much you might know about it, but they hire international thugs to carry out their dirty work. And you don't need just a local, you know, bouncer or a great big dude that'll stop someone from beating you up. No, these people work at a little bit different level. And I can connect you with a vetted, legit, high-threat team that'll stop any threat that wants to come at you until you can get the word out, okay, at least. I'd be happy to do that. So reach out to me, let me know. An alternate way to get you funded is if you were willing to come out now and under the right circumstances reveal the list of names of those who are guilty, then we can provide you that protection. Not only the physical protection, but the legal. I'm sure the legal counsel, I know some of the biggest attorneys in the country, not because I'm cool or I'm not bragging, I'm just saying I happen to know and am close friends with some of these guys. They win multi-billion dollar cases. So, and they're good people and they would fight for you. So anyway, it's your call, buddy. I'm here if you like. I don't push myself on anybody. I'm busy. I got a production I'm right in the middle of, exposing child trafficking, and we're busy with that. So, but I will help you, and I'll push support and protection to you if you so choose. All right, reach out, let me know. Otherwise, the rest of you folks, thanks for your continued support and prayers. See ya.
All right, that's the latest from Craig Sawyer. He is going to join us on the other side. Do not go anywhere. Gentlemen, as you know, InfoWars is no joke. That's why you can see us winning the culture war right now. You can see our impact that we're having politically on the United States of America and the world. And it's why we get so many great guests to come on our show who are so charged for liberty and justice, like Craig Sawyer. And it's all possible because of you going to InfoWarsStore.com. And taking advantage of our specials. You know, we promote the specials. We don't even promote our products that aren't on sale. So Just think about that. We want you to get the best deal. We want you to get a 360 win, and we want to continue to grow in the face of the globalists and the New World Order with your support. So take advantage of the 50% off specials. That includes Silver Bullet. That includes Anthroplex. That includes Brain Force. That includes Winter Sun. All those are 50% off. How about in the 40% off category? Secret 12 Vitamin 12 Supplement. Survival Shield X2, a must-have product. Bio True Selenium, all that is 40% off. And then you've also got the 30% off Super Male Vitality right now. But we don't just have supplements. We also have apparel, hats, including a very, very popular T-shirt. Right there it is, the anti-fascist, anti-communist T-shirt. Oh, it comes with a matching sticker. I didn't even realize that. Now, this is a limited time T-shirt, folks. So there's only a finite amount of these available, and they are selling like hotcakes. So you're going to want to go to InfoWarsStore.com and get your anti-fascist, anti-communist T-shirt before we sell out, especially with all of the violence that Antifa is said to be planning over this coming weekend. So be sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com, support us, get that limited time T-shirt, and who knows, maybe you could meet a like-minded anti-fascist, anti-communist. All right, so Craig Sawyer is with us. Craig, thank you for joining us today. I want to get right into it. Look at that big, beautiful smile on the Sawman. Have you heard back yet from Corey Feldman or any of his people?
I heard back from one of his representatives. Yeah, he was curious to know what I had to offer, and I just let him know, hey, look, I heard that somebody that was trying to get the truth out and was under threat for it was in harm's way or potential harm's way, and I have connections and assets that I could provide and cover him. And so I was offering that in good faith. So I explained to him what it was that we could do. And he said he was going to notify Corey immediately, and that was yesterday. So I haven't heard back yet, but we'll see. I mean, Veterans for Child Rescue is not a mobile response unit that is offering protection for people. But I do have, as I said in the video, I've got friends that run companies that do provide that service, and they contract out for different clients and government agencies. And so I know all the people that can make that happen and keep them in one piece so we can get the truth out if that is the motivation. So, you know, I just figured I'd offer it because I had the connections to make it happen.
And there's a perfect opportunity here that I think that I see, you probably would agree, for you guys to have kind of a synchronous relationship where you're already fighting with your fellow veterans to rescue a lot of the victims from this. Problem is, I would imagine that it's tough to sometimes find the perps. It's tough to find the people that are rounding these kids up. It's tough to find the people that are actually trafficking them. And maybe you get a little light shed on this information from Corey Feldman, and all of a sudden some of these gears start to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a puzzle, you know. The more you populate or a computer screen, the more you populate that screen with pixels, the clearer the image, and intelligence works that way. So it's no different than any other investigation. So it'd be nice to know what Corey has to offer and what his experiences have been and who the players are and if it's any different than a lot of the other stuff that we're getting. But you know, with Corey, I just hope he recognizes the situation that he's in. So, you know, he's got his own political views, and I'm not convinced that he understands he's kind of protecting those that are really maybe after him. So in the end, I mean, let's face it, the DNC and Big Hollywood are tied in very heavily in the pedophilia business. So I hope Corey recognizes that.
Well, I think the one thing, and this is kind of off the topic, but I think the one thing that he does have going for him, at least at this point to me, is that the more public he gets, the more, you know, publicity, the more people covering what he's saying, I think the safer he is. But having said that, also realizing what we're dealing with, you know, maybe he's never safe.
Well, you know, there's a couple ways to go. One is to keep your mouth shut and stay quiet and stay low and slow on it, so to speak. And another way is to go loud. Once you're compromised or once you're out there, you might as well just be so loud and so in everybody's face that if something happens to you, then there's a massive void and everybody wants to know why. So there's a couple different ways to approach it depending on your situation. I think with Corey now, he's got to stay loud and in everybody's face because you know, he's made himself a threat. Whether he comes out with the names or not, he's a threat to do so. So, you know, he would be one that they would want to suppress. And there's no shortage of body count from the DNC and those that threaten to expose what they're up to.
Craig, have you gotten anyone else to reach out for you, perhaps people that aren't going out loud, like you were saying, that are still remaining quiet? Have you had anyone else reach out to you from Hollywood regarding child trafficking?
A lot of them reaching out, not so many from Hollywood. There have been two from Hollywood, one that I'm in conversations with now, so other than Corey. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, there a lot of them with Hollywood, with what I've been learning, are boys, so many boys, and the pool parties, and they love to drug them up and have them running around naked. It's just a really sick situation, but we'll see. You know, I mean, we're if we get more people that want to talk about that, that have the credible factual data that we can show, we'll cover it in our documentary. We're doing a 2-hour feature film documentary first. We're filming that one right now, and then next we'll follow it up with a series. So there's a lot of information, a lot of different aspects of what's going on with this, so we'll be able to cover a wide scope of it once we get into the series aspect of our production. But you know, if it's immediate and pressing, we'll pack up the crew and go capture it and show people. I mean, what I'm finding out is so much of this is so dark and ugly, and it becomes very familiar very quickly once you start investigating it. But again, if you go to the public and ask them, hey man, do you understand that this is going on, they'll be like, huh? Mm-hmm. And they don't know. I mean, because the mainstream media does not tell the people. So the people are kept very, very in the dark on it. They don't know. A lot of them still think that, you know, that the idea that there is anybody that molests or rapes children is some kind of conspiracy theory. Well, no, that's been happening since the dawn of time. I mean, since mankind has existed, there have been a percentage that abuse the innocent, and children are among those. And it's nothing new, but it seems like over the last decade or two, this pedophilia thing has really, really ramped up. It's concerning, and it's a dark and ugly subject to cover, but it's just as inspiring all the people that are standing up and rising up with us. Man, we got sheriff's departments that are so friendly and so cooperative and helpful and wanting to find solutions. You know, we realize there are a percentage of law enforcement across the country that may be compromised or corrupt, but there are so many still good and strong people serving in good faith. And that's been an inspiring thing. And just civilian researchers, man, a lot of people sitting on their computers, you know, where they've got the means and the capability, and they're inclined to spend their time researching and reporting those that are obviously corrupt. I mean, there are a lot of them that not just corrupt, but hunting and preying upon the children and selling them for profit. And, you know, a lot of these people on social media, Twitter and others, they're almost welcome to flaunt their pedophilia on Twitter. You know, yeah. So people will hunt these guys down and report them. And we need to help improve that system of reporting so that something's done with it. Because so many of us now try to report something, and it's like law enforcement doesn't even really have a procedure in a lot of cases.
Yeah, you know? It is amazing what you can find out there just by looking. We're going to be right back on the other side with more of Craig Sawyer. Well, Craig, it's this kind of stuff that really, I don't even know how to react to this. This is now coming out. Rosie O'Donnell says everyone knew that Kevin Spacey was a sexual predator. Rosie O'Donnell compares Kevin Spacey to Harvey Weinstein, saying, we all knew. Craig, how is it that everyone knows this is going on, even the virtuous of us all, Rosie O'Donnell, but she doesn't want to tell anyone?
Well, how does evil prevail, Owen, when good men do nothing and good women do nothing? you know, there's a lot of types of courage. You know, I see a lot of people in Hollywood speaking out about, you know, different issues. But what do any of those matter if you can't stand up for the children, God's precious and defenseless little children? If you can't stand up and raise your voice and be obnoxious on their behalf, then what else is more legitimate and more worthy of that? So I say, you know, a lot of these people that are so self-congratulatory in Hollywood with all their award shows and they heap congratulations upon themselves, I think they really need to look in the mirror, a lot of these people, and realize in the rest of the world, rest of the country, they're not looked upon the way they may want to be, especially with these revelations. It's like, look, man, we should all be able to stand up for the kids, man. Shame on us if we can't at least do that. So I think we need to kind of hit the reset button in this country and get back to a core set of moral decency, you know, decent moral values that just make sense, and quit being so weird and trying to reinvent the wheel. You know, I think mankind's been around for long enough now that we know that all manner of lying and deceit and depravity isn't the wholesome and effective path to go down. I think, you know, Hollywood and Northern California has been at the worst of just experimenting and just abandoning everything that works. And so saying, we're going to be so progressive, we're going to just, you know, pursue a life of complete amorality and it's just going to be awesome. And I think we're already seeing that doesn't quite work out. So, you know, I think Hollywood's got some soul searching to do. You know, I know a lot of good people in that industry, don't get me wrong. But it's the industry's got a rep for being what it is, and
A lot of those good people, you know, they don't get the roles, they get silenced, and they kind of get put on the back burners because they don't want to come out and make the political statements that Hollywood wants them to make. But you know, just real quick for the audience too, something that I don't think people really think about, and of course they don't think about it. Who would want to think about it? But the problem is, the truth of the matter is that, just like you have major drug running operations, major drug trafficking operations, you have major human trafficking operations. You have major child trafficking operations. This is a business for people to capture kids and then sell them off to sex to pedophiles. This happens amongst the elites. And the problem is nobody wants to talk about it. Nobody wants to report about it. Now, I'm just curious, though, Craig, you're obviously looking to find how you can save these kids. Is part of your goal as well at vetsforchildrescue.org to kind of get in between these cogs of the child trafficking operation to stop it, and then maybe it just falls apart by itself?
Well, yeah, certainly. We are a disruption organization, if anything. But part of that disruption is compromising the opposition's operation, compromising their multi-billion-dollar child trafficking operation. Right now, the American public doesn't know that it's going on. So they don't know to combat it. They don't know the horrors that are happening. They're not informed about it by the mainstream news media. So it's very easy for the traffickers right now. In some cases where there'll be kids in a load of dope in trucks or what have you, the police will process the dope and fill out the reports and everything, and they'll just cut the kids loose because there's no real protocol on how to interview and capitalize on
the and the kids unfortunately have been either so drugged or even tortured or beaten or what have you that, you know, maybe their mind isn't right. You know, knows what details they could even share, you know, with the law enforcement.
Yeah, it's very tricky interviewing a child victim, Owen. I mean, it's a delicate situation, and there needs to be some skill there and some experience involved. So, and another part of it's cultural. At the biggest level, we want to just change the culture of the United States. Right now, due to Alfred Kinsey and his falsified studies that have infested and poisoned our nation since the 1950s, we've raised several generations of pedophiles, and that's where a lot of this harm and demand is coming from the product, for the product. The product now is the future of our nation, our children. Their lives are being shattered by it on mass scale, and it's being suppressed by mainstream news media. And, you know, big Hollywood will make movies celebrating perverts and predators like Alfred Kinsey.
If I'm recalling correctly, I studied psychology in college. Kinsey is actually studied quite frequently in higher education.
Yeah, well, you know, he's looked upon as an innovator. Like, oh, he, you know, he developed our sexuality and taught us, you know, more about our sexuality. But the brutal and ugly truth is he was a rapist. Kinsey was a sadomasochistic pedophile, and he was into some very, very weird and harmful things. And so he cooked the books on his studies to reflect his own viewpoints. So he would score, for example, any manner of kicking, jerking, screaming, crying from the children as orgasm. Oh, orgasm.
Oh, my gosh.
So with the studies falsified, all of the people that are recipients of that and all the academia, the laws, and the medical and psychological institutions that took his studies on as gospel, if you will, they were all poisoned by a falsehood. So we need to really beat that back and go back and correct that with accurate, sound science, because right now the damage and the harm that it's come from Kinsey's falsified studies is incalculable.
Craig, I got one more question before we let you go here. We got just over a minute. How often, and I have a specific question for this too, but how often do you run into, let's just say, pizza symbology in the searches you do for these children? I'm just curious.
Well, I think that's more centered around the Northeast, and I try to just stay away from the whole word pizza and that whole case, because that's one case that the left has taken to
which almost kind of puts up a red flag to me, Craig. And I just want to tell you, the only reason why I asked this, because I want to put this little bug in your ear, because I know the great work you're doing, and there's a couple of families in St. Louis. I know it's hard to interview these boys that have been affected by this, but it may be worth someone in your organization's time, Vets for Child Rescue. Michael Devlin, he was a guy who ran a pizza place in St. Louis who had two boys captured in his basement. Now, I'd like to ask those boys, was Michael Devlin the only person that was coming and touching you, or were there other people? Because that could lead down an entire new investigation to me. That's just me. I'm not putting words in Craig Sawyer's mouth. I just wanted to put that bug in your ear, Craig, because it's something that's been bothering me. 30 seconds left, Craig. What do you got for our audience?
Well, look, man, we're making great progress. Our production's turned into a high-quality two-hour feature film. We've got our 501c3 nonprofit status approved and official. So we are a nonprofit org right now. And again, this is about changing the culture. Look, decades ago, we started really hammering against drunk driving, and now it's not okay anymore. People will stand up against it, and people don't drink and drive.
Wow, great final point from Craig Sawyer. That hits it right on the head. Thank you so much. VetsForChildRescue.org, folks.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to The War Room. Today's show has flown by. We were just stacked with great guests. And we've got, well, he's an okay guest. I guess he's all right. Jack Posobiec joins us now. And actually, what I'm going to do to Jack today is I'm going to put him on the spot a couple times, because I got some videos and some stories that I'm sure he hasn't even seen yet. But let's start with Kevin Spacey, Jack. So apparently, here's the deal. I just realized this. So the next time the left tries to attack you, Jack, you just need to say you're gay. That's all you need to do, because, you know, Kevin Spacey
covers up everything.
Yeah, Kevin Spacey admits that he was basically sexually harassing a 14-year-old boy, but he's gay. So, hey, all right. Hey, how about that?
Yeah, so of all the headlines that I didn't think I would see this morning, you know, whereas we're waiting for the Mueller news to drop, the one that I really didn't expect was Netflix cancels House of Cards amid Kevin Spacey pedophilia claims. Mm. That was not on my docket, but, you know, it just goes to show you the lengths and the level to which this stuff goes. The level, Kevin Spacey, of course, very close to the Clinton family. He's been very open about that. And now the breaking news from his brother, saying that his father was, and I want to see if I can get this headline right, his brother actually came out and released a statement saying that their father was a Nazi child rapist, of Kevin Spacey and his brother. So that's, I mean, I'm just sitting and looking at the headlines today thinking, like, what is coming next?
Well, now you know why, though. Yeah, but Jack, now you know why they had to do this whole Manafort thing today, because they had to kill the momentum of the Uranium One deal making it to the mainstream news, and they want to kill any momentum that might be going down the road of Hollywood pedophilia that's not the anti-man agenda. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, again, it's just amazing to me, Jack. You know, it used to be when you did something that was really messed up, you just say you're sorry, at least. Now you just say you're gay.
Yeah, you don't even need to completely apologize. You just turn around and you say, well, no. And you notice that not only did he come out as homosexual, but you notice that a lot of the LGBT community completely blasted him for his statement. A lot of the community came out and said, how dare you? How dare you conflate us with your pedophilia? How dare you? Zachary Quinto, GLAAD actually came out. So now we're actually seeing people that we normally consider on the left or the SJW community. We're seeing them attack each other and really eat their own in so many of this because, well, wait a minute. We are not going to provide cover for you and whatever you were doing with 14-year-old boys, Kevin Spacey.
All right. Here's the deal, Jack. I want to give a fair warning to our audience. This is a family show. I want to give you a fair warning. If you don't want your kids to see something very perverted, shut this off immediately. So, I don't even know where to go with this, but I saw it and I felt it was worth reporting on because I'm going to see if Jack can maybe set our minds straight on this. Hey, look, I don't really care what you do with your personal time, all right? But let me just say this. The virtual reality world is getting stranger and stranger. Okay, it started where you did like virtual reality dancing, and then maybe you try to feel stuff, and then people were literally pretending to be chickens. That's when I drew the line and said, I'm never putting a virtual headset on again, or I never have, so I never will put a virtual reality headset on. But then I saw this. Again, if there's any parents watching and you don't want to see this or you don't want your kids to see this, just turn it off immediately. This is the latest virtual reality game for homosexuals. Go ahead and roll this. This is real, Jack. Yeah, I think I don't know if this is I don't know if this is the Kevin Spacey special or exactly what this is, but
maybe they're just stealing gasoline.
You're right. Oh, dude, I'm so homophobic. You're right. That guy was just siphoning gasoline.
He's
trying to start his car. I think he was trying to start his car.
He's just trying to start his car. Wow. This is quite the thing. And I would also say that
I'm sorry I did that to you, Jack.
these videos would be strange regardless of if I think that if it was heterosexual or homosexual. Why are we having video games where this sort of thing is... Who's designing this stuff?
That's what I was saying. I saw a video where there was a group of people that were literally like pretending to be chickens. And that's when I was like,
What is the market for this? Who's out there saying, yes, that's the way I want to spend my free time is, playing this type of game or experiencing this type of virtual simulation.
I have a feeling that Kevin Spacey will probably get behind that, pun not intended. All right, let's try to move forward amicably here. That's going to be tough to do. All right, how about this one? Have you ever heard of Lauren Duca?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember this. So Lauren Duca, she's that writer for Teen Vogue, or at least she used to write for Teen Vogue. I don't know if she still does. And she writes for Teen Vogue, which you remember is like one of those teen bopper like newspaper magazines. And yet she tries to come across like she's hard politics and doing all this like really, really big political stuff. I actually invited her to Deplorable. I was going to give her a free ticket, but she refused to come all the way back in January.
Well, of course, she's not going to come hang out with a bunch of conservatives. She can't handle us. But actually, you know what I realized? She tweeted this today, Jack. And I've been hounding at this, and I will not hound at this because I'm leading the masculinist. I'm a masculinist. I'm a proud masculinist. And I'm trying to lead other masculinists out there to not be bullied by all of these Nazi feminazis, feminists. Lauren Duca tweets out, 2017 is the year of male consequences, and she's loving every minute. I don't even know what that means, but every day I see that the left's agenda really is to destroy manhood. They cannot have a real man around anymore because you know what? A real man stands up for innocence. A real man stands up for truth. A real man draws a line in the sand, and the left can't have any of that while they're bullying you.
No, so what she's doing here, New York Times ran an opinion piece yesterday as well, saying that Harvey Weinstein is, may perhaps his fall will be the cure for all men. So, Owen, what they're trying to do is say that, well, it's not Harvey Weinstein's fault. It's not Kevin Spacey's fault. It's all men's fault.
Bingo. Yep.
And all men are to blame for the crimes of these people, the sexual assault, the pedophilia. It's all men's problem. So from the feminist perspective, through their lens through which they view objective reality, it feeds into their, I call it the mind virus sometimes, because we're talking about third wave feminism here, who really believe that men are the cause of all problems in society and that only women can save us. So unfortunately, I guess if 2017 is the year of male consequences, she must have forgot who exactly was inaugurated president on January 20th, 2017, because I got to tell you, it was not a woman.
Wow, I didn't even see that story. Oh my gosh, the crew here knows that this is like, I'm telling you, I've been saying this, that the overall agenda was to come after men. And again, yes. The New York Times headline, right. Will Harvey Weinstein fall, finally reform men? It just gets proven to me more and more every day that that's the case. And the other thing they're trying to do, Jack, is they're trying to project Hollywood lifestyle of sex, drugs, violence, rock and roll, degeneracy. They try to project that lifestyle onto the rest of society when it's like, no, most of us are actually good, wholesome people that just live our lives. We're not perverted sexual deviants like Hollywood.
Yeah, imagine if you show the actual lifestyle of Hollywood in the movies that they portray, they would never actually get sold because nobody would want to see that.
I gotta disagree with you.
Oh,
oh yeah. Haven't you seen House of Cards with Kevin Spacey? I mean, that is clearly really what goes on with the Clinton administration, is my opinion on that.
So, yeah,
and it's very popular.
They just announced the cancellation of House of Cards, and I wonder how they're going to get rid of it because, yeah, how much of reality have they been putting into House of Cards? Remember, House of Cards, he has a three-way, I think, with one of his security agents. So it's himself, the First Lady, and one of their Secret Service guys. They bring him into a three-way menage a trois at the end of one of the episodes, and then they never speak of it again. It's like it never happened. They just kind of look at each other over breakfast, like, yeah, that was interesting.
Maybe Salon and the New York Times will have the next headline. Netflix against pedophile Kevin Spacey. How intolerant of them. Why doesn't a pedophile get to have a show and star in a show? We'll be right back. Final segment. Well, Jack, I made a prediction last week that, and I'm not saying this in any sort of character assessment of Harvey Weinstein. What I'm saying is I predict that Harvey Weinstein will come out in the long run of this in some form of even a hero, because the frothing at the mouth liberals and leftists that are scorning him, ridiculing him, and then ridiculing all men in his name is going to turn off any legitimate criticism of him, because people, look at this. People are more sick of being virtue signaled by the least virtuous people in this country. People are sick of a bunch of lefties getting together to try to push an agenda or push a narrative. America is completely sick of this. And you've got this story. Me Too campaign moves to French streets. This is, again, all an attack on men. And then you've got the likes of Claire McCaskill, Elizabeth Warren, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz all tweeting out hashtag Me Too when a blind man wouldn't even touch them with a 10-foot pole. And then Hillary Clinton, who won't even be touched by her own husband, Bill. This whole Me Too campaign is a bunch of bullcrap to me, Jack. Or am I just being, maybe I'm just being too harsh.
I do have to say the one person that I saw that did actually tweet out Me Too, and I don't think she added anything, any extra to it, but it was Monica Lewinsky. Of all people, Monica Lewinsky even wrote
out. By Bill Clinton.
By Bill Clinton, right. And so it's interesting that you never quite hear this stuff when it comes to leftists, with the exception but we're seeing the change now. But it used to be that when Juanita Broderick would come out, when Paula Jones, Kim Shelton would come out and talk about all the situations that happened to them that were tied to the Clintons or tied to other or when other times when it's been come out that there were Democrats that were leading the charge, nothing ever happened. Remember, John Edwards had a love child and everybody knew the story, but nobody would talk about it because they had to protect it, because they had to protect the mythology. And then suddenly it was National Enquirer was the only one that wrote the story. And they said, oh, that's fake news. That's fake news. And then it came out that, no, actually, he did have a love child. And so I don't necessarily say that's assault. But what I say is it's the double standard, the double standard that, yes, we can apply this to when it's men. And then if it becomes Republican men that, oh, no, it's definitely them. But if it's Democrat men, we let them go. And then if it's both. Well, then, okay, fine, it's all men, but we can't talk about anything else because all men are to blame, and women are completely blameless. Women have never done anything wrong, and gosh darn it, you just shouldn't be a man, and you shouldn't have been born a man, and you need to atone. It's the same like how they have agendas if you were born in America. People say, if you go around the world, and they preach this in Europe, they preach this in so many countries, that the Americans are bad, the Americans are trying to defeat you. When I was dealing with people in the Middle East through my work in the military, you would always hear the same thing. It's all Americans are to blame. It's a scapegoat, Owen, and that's what they're trying to do with men. They're trying to turn men as a gender into a scapegoat.
Yeah, and I completely agree. And that's why Harvey Weinstein, who was their sacrificial lamb, I guarantee you is going to end up, I don't even know how to phrase it, but he's not going to be the victim that he is now.
So especially when a hero arc, right? These are the people that write
yes.
stories.
Okay, these yes. Thank you movies. For pointing
so
that
it's
out.
Like, it's the hero arc. So
and there's no litigation really against him yet.
Yeah, isn't that surprising? It's, he first said he was going to Europe, but then that actually turned out to be Arizona. And then he was there for like a couple of days where they said he wasn't even paying attention. He was on his phone the whole time. And then he came back and said, oh, I'm cured. I'm totally cured.
And but here's the thing: we're not going to be virtue signaled.
You gave women so many opportunities. Sorry,
no, but that's what I'm saying. We're not going to be virtue signaled by the likes of Ashley Judd and Rose McGowan. And again, I'm not trying to be insensitive to them. Maybe they were victims, maybe they weren't. But the point is, this was going on for years. You knew about it for years. Now you're just coming out and saying all this because it's part of an agenda. And the agenda is not because you feel bad about being sexually assaulted. Believe me, with your multi-million dollar movie deals and all your awards, I'm sure that you sleep very nice at night, Ashley Judd, Rose McGowan. But the point is, they do this as part of a larger agenda to bring down men. And then, to make it even worse for them, you've got the likes of Claire McCaskill, Elizabeth Warren, Debbie Wasserman Schultz saying "Me Too." Please, nobody believes that. Nobody touched you guys with a 5-foot pole. It's absolutely disgusting. Let's change subjects here, Jack. I could go on that all day. We know how they feel about men. Lauren Southern tweeted this out: 20,000 shares. This brings a whole new meaning to a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth even has a chance to put its pants on. Apparently, somebody photoshops a picture of Melania Trump signing something, and it looks like she has a thong on. Of course, it's fake. It was totally photoshopped, but it got shared over 20,000 times on either Facebook or Twitter or both, people actually believing it. Isn't it amazing, Jack, how fake news spreads and people believe it without any critical thinking at all? Not even a second, not even a millisecond of analyzation.
So I actually called out Jake Tapper earlier today on this.
And I
got him to change his article because I caught Jake Tapper doing the same exact thing. Now, there wasn't a thong involved because it was Paul Manafort. Believe me, ain't nobody want to see that. But certainly not if it's Jake
Tapper. Well, maybe Kevin Spacey, but that's the one thing.
Kevin Spacey, hey, everyone's got their preferences, though. We don't need to get into that here on live air. But Jake Tapper tweeted out an article and said, former Trump aide pleads guilty. The only problem was the article that he was pointing to had a photo up of Paul Manafort and a headline talking about Paul Manafort. And so I called him out. I said, Jake, why are you writing this pleads guilty when you're putting up a picture of Paul Manafort? You're deliberately trying to misconstrue people's opinion of what happened today, people's understanding, by putting up pictures of Paul Manafort and writing guilty on it. And then only after hours of us incessantly calling him out, he said, oh, it was just a Twitter mistake. Let's see if CNN can change the image, and they changed it to this guy Papadopoulos. But this was their agenda to begin with. He knew exactly what he's doing, and that's why, if you notice, he didn't delete anything. He didn't take it down. He just tried to blame it on some glitch. You know, it's always the
This is all they have.
Or something.
I mean, this is literally all they have in this Russia deal. These three names and these three indictments. They've got nothing else, so they have to build this up and make it as big of a deal as possible, even though it's really a nothing burger, as their own people admit.
I never heard of this guy. People in the White House were saying that they had to use Google just to find out who's Papadopoulos.
That's the funny thing too. That name, because it's so hard to pronounce, will never stick either. So that's not even going to work for them. All right, hey, let's move right down the line here. Former House Speaker John Boehner describes how Obama struggled with smoking and was scared to death of Michelle. Now, I found this kind of funny, and, apparently Barack Obama being scared to death. That's the quote exactly, scared to death.
Let's be honest, Owen, we're all a little scared of Michelle.
I'd be pretty scared of Michael too, Michelle too. I mean, she's got some guns, man. I mean,
I've seen those moves. I've seen those moves when she's on Ellen. That is not someone that I would want to get. That is not someone that I would want to cross either in a dark alley or on the dance floor.
If there was a dance bomb,
she was looking to throw down. No, not me.
Plus, you know, she carries some sort of heavy rubber codpiece around too in her pants. She could take that out and start beating you over the head with it as well. So you got to, you know. That might be why he's scared to death.
And so apparently this is his, you know, people asked, how is Obama doing with smoking? How is he able to stop? Apparently it was his fear to death.
Yeah, he was so scared. He was so scared of Michael. Yeah, Barack Obama was so scared of his husband, Michael. Oh, I'm sorry, I was just misreading that. He was so scared of his wife, Michelle, that he was scared to death of smoking because he was afraid Michelle might put him in a leg lock or an arm bar. Or something along those lines. All right, let's move right down the line here with Jack Posobiec. We got just a minute left. All right, Jack, this is crazy. I want to hear your take on this because I'm telling you, this is all part of the anti-man agenda. You had the woman come out and say she got sexually assaulted from George Bush when he was in his wheelchair. This is former President George H.W. Bush. Then a second woman came out and said the exact same thing, that apparently George H.W. Bush is just grabbing women anytime he's around him in his wheelchair. Here's what I found out about this. I think it was last night. George H.W. Bush threw out the first pitch at the World Series last night. So this guy who apparently is going around molesting all these women, grabbing them, he was supposed to throw out the first pitch. But then I realized something. Jack, George H.W. Bush is literally paralyzed, like, I think from the waist down, and he's completely mentally deranged, like, he's literally not even there, like, he's totally gone. They're going to start saying inanimate objects are assaulting them. I'm serious. These women are so crazy.
He may not have even realized what he was doing.
He didn't know. He had no idea what he was doing. This guy's literally not even there.
I'm no fan of George H.W. Bush, but let's be honest. The guy.
We just call it as we see it.
I call it like I see it. That's like, I'm not going to look. We can make political points here, but I honestly don't think he had any clue what was going on.
Hold on.
Not that age.
He assaulted me. He touched me. You saw it. Assault! All right, Jack. We were just laughing at liberals. It's a new segment here that we do on the War Room. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Hey, you stay classy, Info Warriors.